This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. I told you last week on our draft show that since we didn't have any IPAs on that show, that this week we do a show with all IPAs, and we're going to deliver on that promise here tonight. We have 7 different IPAs, ranging from Ambers to Reds to Vulcans. Yes, that's Star Trek Vulcans. And several more to try tonight. My name is Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, Kira Hopkin, Brandon Hofer, and from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hey, everybody.
Good evening. Howdy.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
IPA show. Who's excited about this?
I am.
Everyone except for Steve.
Steve's especially excited. Super excited.
This is like one of those shows
sound like it.
When Jeff's like, Andy's going to finally find a session IPA he likes, which has never happened. We're telling Steve, you're finally going to find an IPA you like.
Which is never going to happen.
You right. Don't know.
We need to do a session IPA show, and then you'll have to pick one,
I'll
Andy.
Be sick that day.
Well, Steve's going to have to pick an IPA tonight. I guarantee that. Before we get to the IPAs,
he could
though,
pick a double.
That's true. Anyone have any beers they wanted to mention?
Yeah, I had one. Earlier tonight, Dal and I and Kira, we all went out to a grand opening of a new brewery here in Elk Grove called the Tilton Mash Brewery. One of the beers that I tried tonight that I was actually really impressed with is they have a hoppy hefe. And I know what you may be thinking, that's a Hefeweizen, but it's not. It's actually it's an IPA that's just kind of brewed with a bunch of wheat. And it was just a really interesting beer. It's a lot of tropical hops to it, balanced out well with the kind of the wheat malt, and it was just really interesting. It's something that was different and hadn't really had before.
Sounds good.
That was really good. And they actually had a few different good beers there. Their double IPA was good. Kira had one. What did you have, Kira?
The white gummy bear. There was supposed to be hints of pineapple. I didn't get the pineapple, but it was a pretty good beer in general. It's a Saison.
Yeah, Saison, but like hoppy, though. It's kind of a hybrid.
Overall, I was impressed with the new offerings here in Elk Grove. So,
yeah, definitely. It was a good time. On Twitter, I posted up photos of the new brewery, and there's a huge crowd there, so we had a good time. All right, well, let's get into the first beer of the night. This is one from San Diego.
It was like simultaneous can opening.
It's always good when you can get in sync like that.
It's coming through in stereo.
Modern Times Brewery.
I did open a can of the stickiest of the icky.
I saw that.
Modern Times Brewery, 6.8%. This is what they call an amber IPA.
You know, we went to this brewery, but I don't think we've ever had one of their beers on a podcast before. First one, I think.
I think you're right. I find that a little hard to believe, but I think it's only recently that Modern Times has been distributed in Northern California. Now, this beer is cropping up everywhere. It's on the tap at OTP that I go to a lot, and now I see it in Total Wine & More. Every time I go, there's a different set of cans, different beer. So we're going to be doing more and more Modern Times on the show for sure.
They have killer cold brew coffee, too.
That's right. This particular beer is a light copper color or a light amber color. Fair amount of carbonation. You can really see the bubbles all the way through this beer. And the head is kind of a pretty thin head, but a nice white color.
It smells like weed.
It does. It's pretty stinky right now.
Very dank.
It is the stickiest of the icky.
It's very hoppy, fresh aroma, as I hope most of these are tonight.
That's how I like them.
So I tried it, and I like this beer. You know, it's got a fresh hop and a little bit of a malt to mellow that out. It's not anything over the top. I mean, for me, it's not, I wouldn't consider it a real bitter IPA, but I know my tastes are a little different than most, but I'm impressed with it.
It reminds me of, in some ways, it reminds me of Flipside IPA, which is a red IPA from Sierra Nevada. You know, it's not quite as dark, obviously. It's an amber, but it has a lot of those same characteristics where it's a little burnt, you know?
Just a little bit. You know, it's a very strongly hopped beer, but there's that caramel malt sweetness that kind of balances it out really well.
Yeah, I don't get any bitterness on the aftertaste, like at least not that anything lingers. It's not like one of those really West Coast heavy IPAs. And you get the hops like it is, but it doesn't linger and it's not that extra bitter aftertaste, at least for me.
If you gave this to me, and you asked me to say where it was from, it could have come from anywhere in the country.
Des Moines.
Not Des Moines.
But why do you guys think it's called an amber? Like, to me, it's much more of an IPA than an amber ale. You know, I get a little fruit flavor. I think it's a little piney. Like when I think of some Northwest IPAs, I think there's a little bit of that. But I do get a little grapefruit type of sourness, maybe in the finish. It's not real bitter, but I do get some fruitiness to kind of balance out with the pine.
I mean, I think the amber comes from the color, and I think there is a little bit more of a stronger malt characteristic than you might get from a Modern Times regular IPA.
Yep.
So I think it's that caramel maltiness that is making it more amber.
I think it's an interesting style. I mean, I can't say I've had very many beers that are labeled an amber IPA. So I think this is unique. I'd like to see more of this.
Now let's get into the beer news of the day. So I think of all the news articles that came out this week in the beer world, the most interesting one was in the Chicago Tribune. And this article basically compared versions of Goose Island's beer before and after the sale to Anheuser-Busch. And it talks about some of the changes. I mean, this was one of the first ones that sold out. And they mentioned that, you know, going from a 50 barrel batches to 1,000 barrel batches is a big change in the brewing process. And some of the beers worked well in that migration, and some of them maybe didn't work as well as they would have hoped. So they said that Anheuser-Busch's equipment is meant to produce light American lagers, not Goose Island's hop-forward ales. And their Anheuser-Busch's brewers are good at making large, consistent batches of fairly neutral beer and not piney, robust IPAs, which Goose Island was known for. And so it was pretty interesting that, and also they didn't change the ingredients. They didn't add corn or rice or any of these adjunct products that Anheuser-Busch normally uses in their beers. But the brewers had to kind of change the recipes in some cases. Brewed on a mass scale, sometimes they had to put in more hops per barrel to get the same aromatics. So it's kind of interesting. And they went through each of the beers and compared what they taste like now to what they tasted like before. And their 4-star pills actually wasn't that well known before. And it actually, based on this author's rating, it actually scaled up pretty well. Maybe it's the style because it kind of works well on that large scale. It didn't require that many changes. The Goose Island IPA is another one that actually worked out pretty well, according to this person. He says it's a little bit more orange citrus than it was when it was made by Goose Island originally, but it's still a kind of a bright hoppy beer. Based on my experience, sometimes I get Goose Island IPA now in the can and it tastes a little stale. Like maybe it's not as bright as I remembered it before or that I think it should be.
Yeah.
But I guess in general, it's fairly consistent.
It's usually drinkable. I mean, it's...
He was not a fan of the Honker's Ale on the Anheuser-Busch version of it. Basically, he says that the subtle malt spice combination isn't what it used to be. And also the Green Line, which is one I had when I was in Chicago, which I haven't seen here. But he said that doesn't really compare to what it used to be either.
It's an interesting article, but I think this is a tough thing to do because obviously these beers, right, they're not trying the same beers from 5 years ago. So it's almost like they're, you know, thinking back to what it tasted like 5 years ago. And I think that's hard to do. I mean, think back to like our palates, things, your palates have changed over time. I think what I thought of a beer 5 years ago versus what I'd think of it now could be entirely different, even if the recipe did not change at all.
That is true. I kind of only have to go by what they're saying here. I mean, I can't remember it 5 years ago versus what it is now, so I can't really speak to it. But I think it's an interesting attempt anyway to try and review the changes. And he went in, if you read the article, he goes into like pretty substantial changes about when hops are added in the process, how much, what types. They kind of had to change some of the recipes in order to get it to be what to match up when brewed on a large scale like that.
What they need to do for a fair test going forward is to freeze some beers in carbonite and then thaw them out 5 years later and you can just try them side by side. Jabba the Hutt did it one time.
All right, next story.
Get some beer.
Last week, we talked about the Washington Post's Beer Madness. It's their like March Madness tournament of beer. And they were down to the final four back then. We have a winner now.
Is it toast or pastry?
It was the Port City Optimal Wit versus the Allagash Saison. And the Port City Optimal Wit won. And then we had the Schlafly Grapefruit IPA, which we had on a recent podcast, versus the 21st Amendment Toaster Pastry. So Toaster Pastry versus Optimal Wit. Who won?
Please don't say this.
I'm guessing Toaster Pastry.
No, Optimal Wit won. If it was in the finals, it had to have won.
Toaster Pastry won.
Yep.
Beer Madness 2016 Toaster Pastry.
I like the beer, but...
Oh, the hype.
Yes.
Oh, so it won the whole thing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
To win over some of those other beers that we mentioned on their last podcast, I just don't see it. And, yeah.
It was overhyped when it came out. It's still overhyped now. It was a fine beer, but it wasn't the best beer of the year.
I agree.
All right, well, let's move into the next beer of the night. This is the Missouri Mule IPA. This is an extra one that Jeff and I brought back from our trip to Missouri. It's from Piney River Brewing Company from Baccarus, Missouri. Baccarus, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right, is a tiny unincorporated community in southern Missouri in the middle of nowhere.
Don't worry, nobody there's listening.
They probably don't have internet there. So
Bucyrus?
I was going to say the fact that it's in Missouri, it's probably Bucky Russ.
You might be right.
It's Baccarus.
Well, we looked up this place when we were in St. Louis. We were going to drive to Kansas City, and you know, we actually looked up where this town was to see if we could go to this brewery, and it was so far out of the way, we had to rule it out. So I know where it is on the map, and we will probably never go there. But I bought this at a grocery store in St. Louis. My first night there, when I was looking at all the beers, somebody who was there buying beer recommended this. And so I don't know anything about the beer, except he said, hey, you got to try this one. So I did.
Did he call it the Missouri Mule? Missouri?
I think he just pointed.
Well, as soon as I arrived there, I think I had the Incarnation first, and then this was the second beer I tried in the hotel room there. Very cloudy, orangish color.
There was something that stood out to me as Andy was passing them by me to Brandon and Kira. It was very aromatic. I mean, just right out of the can. It wasn't even near my face yet, and I could smell it going by.
It's
a pleasant, very nice smell.
The smell to me, I get a little...
getting orange citrusy.
Not peach, but apricot citrus.
Maybe some honey.
So for me, I know Steve says it's aromatic, and it is, but for me, it's a little off-putting. Like, I'm not... It doesn't smell as fresh. Or I don't know if it's just the can that was brought back, but
it smells backcountry, that's for sure. It
smells malty.
No, yeah, I think it smells malty. I think it smells like a tea, almost like chamomile tea or like lavender, kind of like very floral.
And we've had some IPAs where we got some tea flavors, so maybe this will be one of those.
I mean, besides the one that had tea in it.
Yeah.
That one especially, though.
This is like is very malty, and it does have some like spice characteristics to it. Are you getting that?
Yep.
I'm not a fan.
Kind of like
it tastes dirty.
Coriander kind of.
Yeah.
Well, when Dallas thought at the time that maybe this wasn't super fresh, which I don't see a date on here, but I mean, we don't know how fresh this is, so it could have been there for a little while.
It could be. After last week's show, we were sitting around the table here and trying to plan out this next show, and we were going through the list of IPAs because we had the list of beers that both Jeff and I have, and you know, we were looking through the list and someone said, oh, well, we should drink that Missouri Mule before it goes bad. And Jeff said, it's already bad. Yeah. So I don't think this is bad. I just think it's different.
It's different. It's not my style of IPA. If I have to pick an IPA off the shelf, this, knowing what they taste like, this would not be one that I would pick.
This is not my style of anything.
I think color-wise and aroma-wise, I really like it. The taste is okay.
Yeah, if I just had to look at a beer, it's fine.
But I really wish, like, I wish more breweries would put a bottled on date or a best by date, because I think it's hard for people to know, especially, you know, some stores have reputations for having a lot of old beer, and I think you can get a very bad beer that would otherwise be good if you had it fresh. And so I'm all for dates on bottles and cans.
True, but I mean, a lot of the beers we got from Missouri didn't even have the alcohol percentage on it.
It's true.
Some of them didn't even have the name on it.
You know, if they would take off that stupid Surgeon General warning, they'd have a lot more room on the can or bottle.
That's true. All right, let's get into the next one. We have Odell IPA from Odell Brewing Company, Fort Collins, Colorado.
So, strangely enough, this is also one that we brought back on this trip, because I saw it at a store and we can't get this in California, and I've heard of Odell, I've heard good things, and so I saw it at the store and I said, we better buy two of those to bring back. So we did that and now we got it.
Yeah, so we were at the brewery tonight trying some beer, and we were talking about the podcast, kind of gearing up for it. And I had sent Brandon and Kira the agenda for this show on their phones, right? Text message. And Kira is looking at it and she says, 7%. I thought Odell's was non-alcoholic. Odell's. Oh.
So, I didn't focus very well.
Common mistake. But this
one. You had a few of those. What was that?
Gummy
candy
bears.
One you had here?
Yeah. Gummy bear.
Gummy bear.
I hadn't eaten anything all day except for like a couple little pretzel chips.
So I don't know that I've actually had the Odell IPA before, but when we went to the Sierra Nevada Beer Festival last fall, they had Odell's was one of the breweries that was there, and
I don't remember that at all.
I remember it faintly only because I keep finding the keychains.
I know openers. I remember having it, and I remember the beer that I had was a good beer. So I'm kind of looking forward to trying this in a more sober state. And
Brandon's recollection is so much better than mine, but he still has no idea what we had.
That's what I said. I remember I had it, and I remember they were there. They had two different beers. I could not tell you which one I had. So it's a new beer tonight, but I remember it was good. So
do you actually remember seeing it, or did you remember it just from the keychains?
No, I remember having it. Okay. I remember walking up and they had two beers there, and I just can't tell you which one they were, because
so this
was a
beer
long day, but
color wise it's
about
crystal
same.
Clear,
yeah, very clean,
like a golden yellow,
a little cloudiness, yeah. In mine,
pretty good.
Yours has been
very
sitting.
White head. I mean, appearance wise it's very, very good looking. It's got a kind of a fresh dank aroma.
Just way into the appearance tonight. This is a great looking beer.
I want to pay this beer a huge compliment. It has a boulevard type smell of a boulevard.
Hey, this is a family show.
Beer.
I think it has a smell of like the Stone and Joy By. It looks and smells just like that beer.
No. It smells so clean and crisp.
I mean, the Stone and Joy By has a little more dankness to it, but this I think smells pretty similar.
Wow. This is the most drinkable of the beers that we've had so far.
This is like,
and it's also the most alcoholic, right? Or it's the same.
Yeah.
Same as the Missouri Mule.
Way better.
So my taste buds, like, they were like, I don't want to taste that anymore. I just choked down that Missouri Mule. And as soon as I took a sip of this, it was just like refreshment, right?
Oh, it's so, there's a little sweetness and the little hoppiness that's perfectly balanced. There's no bitterness at all based on a palate that has been drinking bitter beers all night. So compared to every beer I've had tonight, this is the least bitter beer that I've had.
It's actually taking the leftover bitterness from the previous beer off my palate.
It does that.
I think this is a little bit like a California West Coast IPA, not quite as hoppy. It's just more well-balanced. I mean, we've had some good, well-balanced IPAs from Founders and other places in the Midwest. And this is kind of like that, but I think better. It's smoother. It's still hoppy, a little bit of maltiness, but not overly hoppy. I think it's really enjoyable.
I can't think of a more balanced IPA than this. It is smooth as silk.
I think that's what really speaks to me on this beer. It's just a very smooth beer. You don't get any burn from the 7%. You know, it's just, it's a really mellow beer, and there's a good hop profile. It's balanced well with the malts that are in it. I really like it.
Yeah, if this is their mass-produced IPA, you buy 12 packs of and cases of, I do it every time.
I think what I like about this, and tell me if you guys agree, this is an IPA that's very juicy, and I don't get a ton of IPAs that are this way, but when I find one, I think it's a style I like. It's very juicy, and it's got kind of this creamy mouthfeel that a lot of IPAs don't have, but when I find it, I think it's really nice.
Yeah, I agree with you on the juicy aspect. It reminds me, in that regard, it reminds me of Torpedo from Sierra Nevada, where you really get those hop juices coming through. But it's not the same beer. It's
not nearly as harsh as Torpedo.
No, but the same that on that level, it's the same thing.
It has this sweet, malty, maybe graham cracker characteristic to it that just smooths everything out and makes it really, really drinkable. Very impressed. And we're halfway through. When we come back, we have four more IPAs to try, including a session IPA from the Star Trek universe that Andy's going to really like.
Oh, it is a session IPA.
And then we have one from Stone, Hangar 24, and a Bitter Oats from Lagunitas. We'll be right back, right here on the Beer of the Day podcast. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help us out, you can do so by shopping on Amazon. All you have to do is go to the Beer of the Day website. On the right-hand side of the site, we have a little banner that says Amazon. You click that, you do your regular shopping, and we get a little piece of what you spend, a little piece of commission. It doesn't cost you anything more, and you help us out. For example, just this week, somebody went to Amazon through the Beer of the Day website and bought transparent bead necklace party favors, assorted 6-count. Now, these things are 48 inches long, and they look pretty good. They only cost $2 for 6, though. I can't attest to the quality, but they bought 2 packs of them, so 12 total, for a total of $4, and we made 24 cents on the deal. Pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
Now, woo-hoo! They missed Mardi Gras, which was 2 months ago, but I think maybe they're getting them now on sale and they can use them next year.
Right.
They're always good for being on the river too.
Hey, yeah. I mean, anytime people are giving away beads, it's a good thing for everybody. So if you need to get some beads, go to Amazon through the Beer of the Day website, buy them, and we're going to make 24 cents off of you.
Any kind of beads.
Also, if you don't want to shop on Amazon and you still want to help us out, you can just tell a friend about it. If you like beer, chances are you probably have friends that like beer also. And if you like listening to this, then probably you can recommend it to your beer-loving friends. So this is our 43rd episode of this podcast, and we're always looking for new listeners. So if you can recommend us to your friends, it's going to help us out also. The more listeners, the better. More times the fun here on the Beer of the Day podcast.
beer, the final frontier of beverages. These are the voyages of the Beer of the Day podcast. Its continuing mission, to try strange new beers, to seek out new styles and new variations, to boldly go where no beer podcast has gone before. All right, if you haven't guessed yet, we have a Star Trek beer to try.
That was Indiana Jones.
I thought it was Star Wars.
You guys are both full of shit. This is the Vulcan Ale. Vulcan. It's a red session IPA, so Andy's going to like it.
Now, it's a red session IPA. I like red IPAs. It's a style I really like, and it's 5.4%.
So it's not that session.
Not that session. So it's like a red pale ale.
So this is brewed by Schmaltz Brewing Company in Clifton Park, New York, in affiliation with CBS Studios and Paramount Pictures. That's an officially licensed Star Trek beer.
So I will say that just based off their description with the red IPA, it's definitely got a more red and color than any of the beers that we've had so far. It's more kind of that dark amber color. As Jeff would say, it's a good looking beer.
It's got pretty good head on it right now.
Malty smell.
I think it's gone down at all.
I think it's definitely on the maltier side of the IPA spectrum. I think it's very carbonated. A lot of bubbles on the tongue.
So here's my problem. My dilemma. If I say I like it, Jeff's going to be like, oh, I found one. But I wouldn't
say... I don't think this counts.
This doesn't count. It's not truly sessionable.
Has to be under 5% to be truly session.
Yeah.
See, for me, there's something missing from it. Like, I don't... The extra alcohol? No. Yeah.
Well, Vulcans have a much higher physiological...
tolerance
development. So this is a session to them.
This should be like 30% then, right?
No, it's not that much higher.
But it's only 10% higher.
This tastes like a red ale. I wouldn't call this an IPA. It's not hoppy enough for me to be an IPA. I think it's pretty earthy. But it's like a red ale to me.
Oh, that's a good call.
I would agree with Brandon, though. It does have that session quality to it, where it is just missing a little something.
There's something missing to it, and I don't know that it's just not balanced well enough for me, or like, because the hop profile is not bad, but there's,
it's one of those where like the initial flavor, well, it's like in your mouth, very good, but as soon as you're done with that sip, it kind of leaves you
like, I want something more out of it, and It's not a bad beer, because I'm not going to disparage it like that, but there's something missing for me, and of the beers we had, and this, I can tell you right now, this will not be my choice for the beer of the day.
No, but for a session IPA, it's pretty flavorful.
It's like drinking Crystal Light instead of lemonade.
I think there'll be other beers in the series, because they're not just going to make a session IPA and be done with it. They're going to come out with the Romulan Ale.
Ale is going to be 15%.
15% green. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to the Romulan Ale.
I will say it's my favorite beer labeled session IPA.
All right, well, let's move to one that has a better chance of getting you drunk. It's the Pataskala Red Experimental IPA, which I assume XIPA stands for. This is from Stone Brewing Company, Escondido, California.
The X means 10.
You guys heard of this brewery?
Once or twice.
Stone?
Stone, man.
And I was joking about the 10 thing. I don't know.
I don't think so. Pataskala.
Very red in color. Dark red. Beautiful color.
It's a very nice color beer. We were talking earlier about the Chasing Freshies. Is that what it was called?
Fresh Squeezed.
Oh, Fresh Squeezed from Deschutes. And this is actually even a little darker than that. A little more on the red side.
Yeah, compared to the other one, which also considered a red ale. This is much, has a much more crimson red color. You know, kind of a off-white head, about a finger's worth.
I'm like really excited right now.
Andy is always like comparing it to Flipside.
Yeah,
on beers like this, and I on the aroma anyway. I smell a lot of similarities.
Has anybody had this before?
I have not.
Nobody.
So I want to hear what you guys think, because I've been drinking this a lot lately. It's, you know, I live pretty close by a Stone tasting room.
It's by the doghouse.
Pretty close.
By the train station.
By the train station.
Jeff has to stay a lot of nights in the doghouse, so he's pretty close to it.
I've been drinking a lot of this lately, and I'm not the biggest Stone fan in the world, but I've been having this on tap a lot, and I didn't know we were going to have it on the podcast, otherwise I would have stayed away. But I'm curious to what you guys think.
I really enjoy it, actually. Like, it's for a Stone beer, I think it's way light on the hops.
So for a red IPA, I mean, you're going to get kind of a more brickier, maltier characteristic. And you get that here, but the hops are also pretty prevalent. So I'm getting a pretty good balance here. I'm liking it.
Now, maybe because this is an IPA show and, you know, we've kind of palate fatigue, I'm not getting it. But Stone is really good at ruining these types of beers by just overloading the hops. I don't get that here. I actually really enjoy this beer, but I don't know if that's just in the context of these beers or if I had it as my first beer of the night, I would still enjoy it.
I don't think it's contextual, because if it was overloaded with hops, I don't think I would like it.
I really like this beer. It's very un-Stone in that regard.
It's definitely not nearly as hop forward as most of theirs. You get some hops, but it's more on the finish, but it doesn't necessarily linger like most of their beers, where it's just overloaded with hops.
It belongs. Like it's you get the bitterness, but it belongs there instead of just, oh, here's a red IPA and then here's some bitterness for you, like
just because.
Right.
Yeah.
So for me, I think there's actually more maltiness than a lot of the Stone beers, and it's got mosaic hops, and that always imparts this freshness. So to me, it's kind of it's still a hoppy beer, but there's a little more malts than I think I find in most Stone beers, and it's fresh and very just like, I don't know, it's a very enjoyable, drinkable beer.
You stole the words right out of my mouth, Jeff. I think fresh is the perfect way to describe it. It's just so crisp. It's very easy to drink. I would think I would like this on a hot summer day. This is like a go out and mow the lawn and have this afterward kind of beer. Like, not that I ever mow the lawn, but...
It reminds me a lot of the Station 101 from Claremont. I think these fresh red IPAs, that there's not a lot of them out there, but I really enjoy drinking them.
I think that's a really good comparison, for sure.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. So, last week... we had the show, the draft show. Steve's beer was the Pacific Gem Single Hop Pale Ale, which was an odd choice for him, I thought.
It was also the beer of the day.
Allegedly.
Yes, yesterday.
A couple days ago.
Yeah.
No, on the show.
Oh, yeah.
No, two people picked it. Two people. No. We tied.
And then Jeff.
That's why I said allegedly.
We'll have to go back and listen to that. But you had me at Dark Beer said... basically, Green Flash can do no wrong in my book. Steven with the PH, whoever said that. I really like this beer. Great tropical fruit flavor with Pacific Gem hops. Easy drinker. Will be a great summer beer. And J.H. Miller, solid beer. Been a while since I had a pale ale that I really enjoyed. This one did the trick. So tonight, April 1st, I posted a Photoshop job of a beer called from the Stone Stochasticity series, and the beer is called Broccoli Beef. It says vegetable ale brewed with Chinese spices.
Now, how cool would it be if Stone was like, screw you guys, we'll brew it.
I don't think so.
Just reading through some of the comments on this. Gary Green, right off the bat. April Fools, ?? He knew it right away. Francisco Aguirre, Where did you get it? I want one. Dara Hang, nicely done. Jared Marn, doubtful. John Watcher, where is the Hawaiian pizza porter? Melissa Ronan, gag, lol. Miranda Williams is a frown. Christopher Baziak, that sounds nasty. Lucas Newman, I tried their honey walnut shrimp porter. It was a little nutty. M.A. Ross.
Comment of the day, I like it.
You almost had me. Bowen Nowak, how was it? And Nick Friesch, I've had their carrot cake experiment. It was disgusting. I almost wouldn't put this past them.
Carrot cake one was good.
Yeah, I really liked the carrot cake one.
That guy's wrong.
All right, let's get into the next beer. We have from Hangar 24 Brewery, the Hangar 24 Double IPA.
Clever name.
We're stepping up the alcohol, too. We're up to 9% on this one.
9%.
You guys need to step up your game over there.
So when I said let's do a show of all IPAs, I didn't know we'd throw in two double IPAs. But I guess it comes with the territory.
Now you know.
And knowing is half the battle.
So I have to say, I'm not a huge Hangar 24 fan, so I'm not thrilled at this beer. I'm hoping to be surprised by it, but I'm...
The only beer I have often from them is that Betty IPA, which is only okay.
I like the Betty. I think it's a really nice beer. I've never had this one, but I've had the Betty. I think the Betty is quality. Best beer from that brewery.
A lot of B's there. A lot of B words.
Best beer from that brewery.
Betty.
So this is very light colored for a double IPA. Like a light golden straw color almost. Pretty good amount of head.
Compared to that double IPA show we did, the Deepa show, Deepa Thoughts it was called.
Yes.
It was one of the first eight or so shows. It's the color of a lot of the beers we had that day. Mm-hmm. It's the color of Pliny, the Elder.
Well, I mean,
Pliny's a little more darker, amber, but
I would say that, I mean, people get confused when they think double IPAs need to be dark, and that has nothing to do with the color. That double IPAs usually just have more hops. It's the types of malt you use that are going to make the color. So if you're just using pale malt, then you're going to get pale beer. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
I get a little bit of honey on the nose. I mean, I get the hop flavor smell, but is that like a hop juice kind of smell?
It's like it's a dry hop.
Yeah, it's very, I would say it's not very aromatic. Mm-hmm. I don't get a lot of hop aroma.
You have to kind of get down in there.
This is the type of hop aroma I'm not really a big fan of. It reminds me of that General Sherman from Tioga Sequoia. It's more of a stale hop, less of a fresh hop, is the only way I can put it.
Yeah, that's a good.
But I get a lot of honey. Steve said a little bit of honey. I get a lot of honey. This is a beer that tastes a lot better than it smells. I really enjoy this flavor. I think this is a well-balanced, flavorful, hoppy, little bit of malty beer.
It's
with some honey.
I have to disagree with you, Jeff.
Well, yeah, and I don't have to, not to the opposite end of the spectrum. It's drinkable, but I don't have anything really redeeming to say about it other than that, right?
Yeah,
it's a nondescript.
It's not a bad beer. I can't say that, but it's just nondescript. I think it's, there's not a lot of aroma to it. There's nothing that really stands out for me, at least, on when you taste it. It's not a bad beer, and I don't know if it's...
For 9%, it goes down pretty easy.
Yeah, no, it's smooth for as much alcohol as it's in it, but there's a lot of other beers that I'd rather drink than this.
I think I like the sweetness that the alcohol lends to this beer. I think it really works for it. I don't know if it applies that honey smell, that it kind of gives you a honey taste with that sweetness, but I think that mixed with just kind of the... How light this beer is, how light it tastes for a 9% beer. I mean, you don't get any burn at all. I think I enjoyed a lot.
It's very light bodied. I mean, if I had to guess, I'd say it was 6 or 7%. I think the 9% is very well hidden.
I think so too.
I think it'll creep up on you. Like this is a beer, if you drink half of this bottle, it's going to hit you after a little while.
I think this beer is not served by the fact that it sat in the fridge for 9 months.
Oh, yeah. I'd agree with that.
So I think maybe a little of the staleness in the hops that I taste from this is probably a result of aging.
I can see that.
Hoppy beers like this don't age well, and so you want to have them fresh. And when you don't get them fresh, it kind of is a little bit unfair to the beer.
It certainly isn't what was intended.
So
and I just bought mine this week, and I'm assuming it's fresh. I don't know, but it has not been sitting in my fridge, so maybe that's why I like it more.
It's been sitting in a hanger.
Hanger 24.
Yes, to be exact. I don't want to give out their secret location.
Wherever 24 is.
I don't live too far from here. I should go to this brewery.
San Bernardino?
Yeah, out that way.
My name is Tony McGee, and I'm founder of Lagunitas Brewing, and I wake and bake every morning.
Well, based on that sound clip, I bet our next beer is a Lagunitas beer. And sure enough, this is the Bitter Oats Double IPA from Lagunitas Brewing Company, Petaluma, California.
I don't know why, but I've been avoiding this beer. It's been out for a couple months now. And
is it because that bulldog's on the label?
When I see the word oats, it just... And I like oaty beers. It's
oat
just
soda?
It doesn't bring me to it. I don't know.
I like most Lagunitas, so I'm ready for it to be good, but we'll see.
I get a pretty similar color and smell than I did on the Hangar 24.
And what was that?
I mean, a little bit of that honey smell, kind of light gold color.
Color.
It's a little cloudier.
Darker
it's
in color.
It's darker.
It's much more aromatic. Like, you can tell the beer in the glass.
I'd say it's probably unfiltered. I mean, I see a lot of floaty stuff in here.
Yeah, it's pretty cloudy.
Mine's pretty clear.
Well, we bought this beer tonight and brought it home. Maybe
yours looks clear.
Maybe it got a little churned up in the car on the way home.
Well, first of all, I think it's very bitter on the finish. I think it's
yep.
You gotta like bitter beers to like this. It's got like a good floral and citrus flavor up front, but on the finish, it is bitter.
On the sip, I got a big alcohol kick.
It's soupy.
It's
soupy,
boozy.
I like
it's
this
boozy.
One.
It's boozy, almost like some of these. Like bourbon barrel aged stouts, like that sort of kick.
I think that Lagunitas is pretty boozy in general, in my opinion. A lot of the beers I've had from them, they're usually a little bit stronger.
A little bit.
In the 7-8% range, yeah, but this is up there. Yeah. It does have that kick like you're drinking one of those bourbon barrel stouts, you know?
It does. At 10.5, you kind of expect that, but you could also see them masking it a little more, and they're not really... You think about Lagunitas beers like Undercover Shutdown, Brown Sugar. Brown Sugar has a little kick like this.
Yeah, this is borderline drinkable. It's one of those where you could have maybe 5 ounces and that's all you need.
It reminds me a little bit of their Imperial Pils, which they came out with pretty recently. And that one is pretty boozy like this too. It's probably 10% as well.
Yeah, it's like chewy and like thick. There's something about this beer that just
it's a little it's a little syrupy and
it just eats at you. I don't know what I mean by that, but it's chewy.
And it washes down.
I'd say
a good beer.
Andy's gonna dump that one out and go to one of the previous beers.
Yeah,
I think that kind of sums up our feelings on the bitter oats.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Okay, Tony, maybe you shouldn't have wake and baked before brewing that one.
Tough beer for us.
Sorry, Tony.
It happens occasionally, but hey, we're doing our best here. Let's figure out who's going to go first in selecting our favorite beer of the day. But first, Andy, you want to take us through and recap the beers we've had?
Yeah, so we started off with Blazing World from Modern Times. Then we had the Missouri Mule from Piney River Brewing Company in Missouri. And then we had our Odell IPA, the Strange Brew, the Star Trek Vulcan Red Session IPA, the Patascala Red X IPA from Stone Brewing, the Hangar 24 Double IPA, and the Bitter Oats Double IPA from Lagunitas.
And we'll spin the wheel and see who gets to pick their favorite beer of the day first. And it's still spinning. And...
lucky Andy.
We need to fix the wheel.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. I'm getting screwed here. Okay, so it's an easy decision for me, actually. A lot of shows are difficult, but that Pataskala Red XIPA from Stone was just... I mean, that's a style I really enjoy, and it nailed it, so... hands down.
Nice.
Mark me down for number two on that guy. I liked the Odell. It was surprisingly good to me. But that Pataskala just had that very fresh taste. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. And I think a few shows back, we did a red IPA that I liked also. Might have been Clown Shoes. And I think that's a style I might be looking to try more in the future.
K-Hop.
I would have to go with the Odell IPA. Everything else, I like IPAs in general, but tonight there was something a little bit different about the original ones that they're a little different than what I'm used to. I'm going to have to go with the Odell for tonight.
For me, it's a pretty easy decision as well, and I'm going to go with the Odell IPA. I just thought it was the best balanced beer of the night, and... just the hops and the malt balance to it was just really good. If I had to pick a second, it's going to go with the Stone Pataskala as well. But for me, the beer of the day is the Odell IPA.
I'm going to concur with that also. I think maybe it's one of the most balanced, drinkable IPAs I've ever had. At 7%, that's no slouch on the alcohol, and it was just smooth as silk. So good. Best beer I've had in a month.
So I'm going to go with the Bitter Oats. No, I'm just kidding.
April Fools.
This was pretty easy for me, too. I thought there were three really good beers. I liked the Blazing World, the Pataskala, but for me, it was pretty obvious that the best one tonight was the Odell. Like everybody said, well-balanced, juicy, really enjoyed that. So I'm going with Odell IPA.
All right. Steve, do you find an IPA you like tonight?
Yeah, I definitely liked the Pataskala. I think red IPAs in general, I'm going to try more of those and see how it goes.
So on the shelf, there's a 805 from Firestone Walker and a Pataskala. Which one are you going to pick?
Probably depends on my mood right at that time.
But there are times when you'd pick the...
I would. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's all we ask.
Well, coming up this week on the Beer of the Day website, 805 will be the beer of the day.
All rated up that day.
All right, well, that's going to close out the IPA show. I think that it was interesting. We had some different kinds of IPAs, different styles of IPAs. There's a whole range of them, and it's... you never know what you're going to get, I'd say. You can't just write off the entire style because there's such a broad range of different beers that you can try. So I'm glad that Steve got to find one that he liked. And yeah, we'll obviously be doing more in the future. Next week. What are we doing next week?
What else is on the list here?
We have a Firestone show to do.
Oh, that's true.
I'm trying to... see if I can get the last couple beers that Jeff has that I don't, but if I can pull that off, then we'll do a Firestone show.
How about another Belgian show?
Yeah, I want to do one of those.
Belgium too.
We have to take a loan out for those.
Yeah, those get expensive, but
shop on Amazon, everybody. Yes, get us please. Some Belgians.
Alright, we'll see you next week. For Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, Kira Hopkin, Brandon Hofer and Jeff Miller. I'm Dallas Hellicker. We'll see you next time on the Beer of the Day podcast.